Okay, today's stuff is Mem He. We're going to start at Mem Dalet Amud Bet. I'm just going to review the very end because I got confused about it. So we started at the two dots, right in the center of the page. A little earlier, near the top. We had done Chatara of Dama Matir Psara Lakohanim. So we had all the list of which is what's matir what. So in the chatara of, if you sprinkle the blood, then the basar is allowed to the kohanim. From there, the Gemara went off on a long drasha from this lechol chatatam, lechol korbanah, lechol minchatam, all those lechols, to explain all the different matnot kuhuna that the kohanim get. And that's where we ended yesterday with the Gezel Hagir was the last one. Okay, now we're moving on to another thing, okay, Tanya. So now we are about 18 lines from the bottom. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Pigel b'davar ha'nasa b'chutz. Before we get to this, we have to review. We had a machloket, Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama, about whether there's pigel in all korbanot. We got to all korbanot, and then right, whether you can have pigel, really the machloket is in the chataot apnimiot, right, all the ones, the parim and nisrafim and the seer that goes inside, all the ones that the blood is sprinkled inside. Tanakama says yes, there's also pigel by them, and Rabbi Shimon had said there's no pigel by them because they're not like shlamim. It has to be like shlamim because the whole pasuk about pigel was the pasuk about shlamim, and from there we learned to everything else. That was our drasha yesterday. So we had Tanakama, who says it applies because we then extended it to all sorts of other cases, even to the Chataot HaPnimiyot. We had Rabbi Shimon, who says no, it only applies to ones where the blood is sprinkled on the outside Mizbech and not the inner Mizbech. And now we're going to have an in-between Shita. Tanya Relezer Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Pigel B'davar Nasa B'chutz, Pigel B'davar Nasa B'fnim, Lo Pigel. I didn't read this right. Pigel b'davar nasa b'chutz, pigel, period. If it's on something that's done, if it's on, in other words, now it's not, is it a chatara pnimi or chatara chitzoni? But when it comes to the chatara pnimi, there's certain things you do inside and there's certain things you do outside. What do you do inside? You sprinkle the blood inside. But there's other things you do outside, like burning them in the mizbech, or, the Purim and Nisrafim get burned outside the city. But if you have an intent about one of the acts that are nasa b'chutz, then it is pigul. So now he's got an in-between. He's saying, yes, there is pigul by the chatot apnimiyot, but only when it relates to something that's similar to the shlamim, where the act happens outside. We're going to say it's even a little bit more specific than that. B'davar nasa b'fnim lo pigel. If it relates to something that's done inside, though, there is no pigul. Ketzad. Now we're going to see it's a little bit more complicated than it states. Haya omei b'chutz. It's not only about something b'chutz, but you also have to both be b'chutz and have the thought about something b'chutz. Because remember, pigul is always where you have a thought at this moment about something that's going to happen down the road. So if, for example, we'll see this in a minute, you're inside thinking about something that's going to happen outside, that's also not pigul because you happen to be standing inside doing something inside now. So it has to be both your location is outside and you're thinking about something that's happening outside. What?
They're limiting pigul more and more and more.
Well, yesterday we extended it. Remember, it only says it by shlamim, and then they extended it a lot. So that's always an issue when you extend something, when it seems to be only specific to one thing, like this, it said, basar zevach shlamim. So when you extend it, we always want to extend it limitedly, right? We want to kind of say, yes, but not all the way. He's coming up with a compromise shita between the two. One said it doesn't really relate all to things done inside. So he says an in-between. So we'll read it exactly. Haya omei b'chutz v'amar. Hareini shochet l'hazot midamo l'machar. In case you didn't understand, they're going to get very specific. You're standing outside doing the shechita. Right? Outside just means not in the inner, the hechal. You're in the azara. You're doing the shechita. And you say, Hareini shochet l'hazot midamo l'machar. Okay, I'm shechting this. And my intent is I'm going to sprinkle the blood tomorrow, which is already chutz l'zmano, but the sprinkling of the blood is going to happen inside. So therefore, lo pigel. Shemachshava b'chutz, b'davar ha'nasa b'fnim, lo pigel. Okay, now the reverse case. Hayame b'fnim, v'amar hareini mazeh, al menat lahaktiri muinu, l'shpoch shirayim l'machar. I'm going to sprinkle the blood right now in order to burn the Imurim and pour the Shiraim on the Mizbeach. Remember, the Shiraim always got poured in the Yesod, which was only in the Mizbeach HaChitzon. I'm going to do an act tomorrow. It's Chutz L'Zmanam, because it had to be done that day. And I'm going to do it outside. However, I'm right now inside Lo Pigel. Shemachshava bifnim, b'davar nasa b'chutz. Okay, because it's a machshava inside about something done outside, and that doesn't work either. Aval, right, which wasn't so clear from his words in the beginning. This Ketzad explains it much better. He didn't say that case, really, in the beginning. Aval haya omei b'chutz v'amar hareini shochet l'shpoch shirayim l'machar l'atir imurim l'machar pigel shemachshava b'chutz v'davar nasa b'chutz. Okay, the only case where it's pigel in a chataot apnimi, according to Rabbi Elazar, is when you have a machshava while you're doing the shechita outside about haktarat imurim or shvichat shirayim, which is also done outside. Again, outside meaning azara. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Mikra, where does he get this from? Because it says, Kashir Yulam, this is in the context of one of the Chataot HaPnimiyot, of the, I think it's the Parkway and the Mashiach. Kashir Yulam Mishur Zevach HaShlamim. It says, we do this just like we do it from the Shur Zevach HaShlamim. And now they say, but remember, the Kohen HaMashiach, everything was stated. Remember, it was some of the other ones that not everything was stated. So, V'chima L'manu Mishur Zevach HaShlamim Me'ata. In other words, everything exactly from step A to step Z was specified. So what could we possibly be learning from the Zevach HaShlamim? Ela mekish parkway and mashiach lishor Zevach HaShlamim. It's making a hekesh, and it's telling you ma shor Zevach HaShlamim ad shiu ma'asav u'machshavotav ha'mizbeach ha'chitzon av parkway and mashiach ad shiu machshavotav u'ma'asav al ha'mizbeach ha'chitzon. Okay, from here we derive that the thoughts he has about Pigel have to relate to the outer mizbeach. In that way, it's like the Shlamim. Okay, so therefore he comes up with a certain similarity between them, and that must be what we learned, and he gets it from this drasha. Or again, we don't know where he gets it from, but Rabbi Shua ben Levi comes and gives the drasha for possibility of where he gets it from. Now we have a very interesting section, which maybe relates to our broad question that we keep having about why did the Bavli have Masechet Zvachim, right, and in general Kodshim, when the Yerushalmi doesn't have? There's a whole thing about maybe the Yerushalmi had someone claimed at some point that he found this version of the Yerushalmi on Kodshim, on, I don't know if it was Kodshim or just Zvachim, and he forged a document, because there was this belief that there was a Yerushalmi, and he forged it, and he got Haskamah on it. It was like a huge forgery. Anyway, it's just an interesting thing. But why would they be just, you know, generally the Bavli's on things that are practical? Right? Some reasons are given that it's because anyone who learns Korbanot is as if they sacrifice the Korbanot. But that's, you know, that's a little bit, I think, of an after-the-fact answer. You know, it could be that they really just missed the Korbanot and wanted to have that as part of their lives. You have to wonder, though, why Zraim wasn't, right? Zraim also, they kind of were missing in Bavel, right? They didn't have all the mitzvot to Leo Ba'aretz, but maybe they felt less connection to that because that's not as lifnei Hashem as this is. So anyway, I'll reka that. With that background, we'll read the next few lines. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Amar Rav, Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, who said this in the name of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, we paskin this in between Shita, that there is pigul by the Chataot HaPnimiyo, but only if you're standing outside and your thoughts are about something that's going to be outside. Amarava, Hilchata L'Meshicha, he says, why are you paskining a halacha about something that's totally irrelevant? What, you're paskining a halacha for when the Mashiach comes and we have a Beit HaMikdash again? Okay? He says, why are you bothering to paskin halacha about this? Which is kind of like our question, why are we learning this? Right. Amar le'abaye, elame'ata, if you're going to say that, kol shchita kodeshim lo'litnei. Hilchata l'mashichahu. If you're going to complain that he's paskining halacha based on this, well then, why are we learning kodeshim at all? Ella, and then Zabai says, obviously, why are we learning this? He gives a different answer. Drosh v'kabel sachar. We're learning it because it's Torah, and any Torah we learn, we get sachar for learning Torah, so, right, let's learn it. It's also not a satisfying enough answer, because, again, it doesn't answer why they're not learning Zrayim, for example. Hachanami, so you can say the same thing. Just like we're learning this stuff, so we're also paskening this stuff, because drosh v'kabel sachar. So now he says, back to him, Rava says, Hachi kamina lecha, hilchata lamali, or lishnachrina, marle, hilchata kamina. There doesn't seem to be much of a difference between these two versions, but basically what it means is, he's saying, I understand we should learn this stuff, but why are we paskening about it? We don't need a psak halacha about it, okay? And that's what he meant. Okay. So it's an interesting, you know, finally they're addressing a little bit, right? Even if their answers aren't fully satisfying, but they're addressing a little bit, why are we learning this stuff, right? And then they're saying, well, we're learning it, it's obvious, but why are we posculating about it is a better question. Although Abaye didn't agree with the question at all.
Just one thing, I was thinking about this over the weekend. You can say the opposite, that if they don't pay any attention to it, you know, maybe they needed to focus attention on it because otherwise people think that's just the past. And
they didn't have anything to look forward to, in other words.
No,
what?
That maybe they were, the people would really minimize this whole part of the Torah if the Gemara didn't.
And you're saying that there's a whole, right, we talked about it the other day, there's this, you know, almost an entire book, right, the majority of Sefer Vayikra, or at least a good part of it, is all about Korbanot. And if we minimized it, it would make the Torah look so insignificant. Whereas you could say maybe about Zrayim, it's not as central an issue. That's possible. It's definitely possible. I somehow still feel strongly that the connection, like the Korbanot being Lifnei Hashem and all the, and especially we're talking so much about Pigul, which we talked about, is so unlikely for it to even happen, that a Kohen would intentionally have the wrong intent to do something.
For a part of it,
it would have to be a specific part even today. If it's a chatzar pnimi, you have to be outside. But they really want to have you understand what it was like, so people could have a vision, since this was such a central part of
Judaism had been,
to ignore it and not learn it and not understand it would be so difficult. And that's why I guess he's saying, well, why are you paskening halacha? In other words, I understand why we're learning it, because we want to understand it better and feel what it was like. But to know what to pasken, we certainly don't need that. It's interesting. Like he also, you know, if we talked about it the other day, that maybe they were closer to thinking that Beit HaMikdash would be rebuilt. You know, here he clearly feels like, Hilchot HaMashiach, why do we need this, right? He didn't think, you know, now you have to, Rava's already fourth generation in Moraim. It's already a while after the destruction. You know, he wasn't thinking that it was so close. Okay. Now we get to an interesting mission. The mission now is going to talk about what's the status of Korbanot of non-Jews, okay? Non-Jews are allowed to bring Nidarim u'Nidavot. We learn it from this pasuk, okay? In my Torah, or it's Bet. I don't know if you have it by the same numbers. It's Vayikra Kaf Bet Yud Chet. Daberu b'nei Yisrael v'al banav v'al kol b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem. Okay, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the Jews. It sounds like it's talking about Jews, but we'll see in a minute it's not. V'amarta lehem. Ish ish, okay, they're going to darshan from the ish ish. There's an extra ish here. That's going to include also non-Jews. Ish ish mi be Yisrael, even though it says mi be Yisrael, okay? Umin hager be Yisrael. Okay, maybe because it's including gerim. Again, ger could be a ger toshav, could be a ger regular ger, but obviously we're going to darshan here that this includes even non-Jews because there's an extra ish here. Asher yakriv korbano, who wants to bring a korban, l'chol nidrehem or l'chol nidvotam, for all the nidarim or any nidava, which is a voluntary offering, asher yakrivu l'ashem l'ola. They sacrifice to God as an ola. Okay, so from here you see that they can bring korbanot nidarim or nidava. There's actually a machloket, since it says ola in the pasuk, some rishonim think it's only olot. Some say, no, they can also bring shlamim in todah, other voluntary offerings. Okay, those are voluntary offerings, right? You want to thank God for something, you bring korban todah. You want to bring korban shlamim, you can bring korban shlamim. Remember, what's the difference? Those are eaten versus the ola that's not eaten. So the machlok at whether he can bring nidarim and nidavot only for korban ola, as it says in the pasuk l'ola, or does it also extend to other korbanot nidavah? But nobody thinks that they bring sin offerings or anything like that, any sort of chovot, or even like olat ri'iyah, like for the shalosh regalim, they used to bring olot, or shalmei chagigah, that they would bring on the chagim, those they don't bring. Okay? So, now the question is, do the dinim of pigul, notar, or all sorts of other dinim apply to korbanot of non-Jews? So, kodshei avdei kochavim, ein chayavim alehem ishum pigul, notar v'tamei. Okay? Pigul, not relevant. Notar, not relevant. Tamei, not relevant. All this stuff is irrelevant for non-Jewish sacrifices. V'hashochtam b'chutz patur. And if you shecht it outside, which you're not allowed to do, and usually chayav, you're going to be patur in this case. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Rabbi Yossi mechayev. He says, what are you talking about? You're chayav. Their korbanot are the same as ours. They have the same criteria. It's all the same. Okay, we're going to see. I think it comes up inside. He's going to get it from the fact that it says in that pasuk, asher yakrivu la Hashem. These are korbanot la'Hashem. There should be no difference between those and those. It's very interesting, right, to say that they're korbanot of a different status and all the laws of korbanot, or many of them, don't apply to them is a very interesting viewpoint. If you use their korbanot is a totally different thing.
That's going to be dangerous, though, because you may mistake a non-Jew for a Jew.
So that could be complicated, how you know someone's a Jew or not a Jew. That could be complicated, yes. yes, that definitely could be complicated. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Kodshei Ovdei Kochavim, Lo Nehenin Velo Moalim, Ve'ein Chayavim Mishum Pigol Notar V'tame. Okay, now we have a braita that talks about all different things. Let's stop for a minute. Kodshei Ovdei Kochavim, any sort of kodshim of theirs. Now that could be kodshim, we'll see, but kodshim are things that they sanctified, like they brought stones for the Beit HaMikdash to build the walls with, to build the Mizbeach with, okay? That's Berek HaBayit. Or kodshim could be animals for sacrifices. Or any sort of anything, right, like the mincha, or any kind of sacrifice. Kodshei Ovdei Kochavim, so lo nehenim velo moalim. This is this in-between we've seen many times. You're not allowed to derive benefit from them. They're hektesh, but they're not hektesh midoraita, and therefore there's no dina me'ila, right? Me'ila is when you use it for your own purposes and not for hektesh purposes, and then you have to bring an asha me'ila, and you have to return the item, and an chomesh. So that doesn't apply here. Ve'en chayavin alehem mishum pigol v'notar v'tame. Okay, this says you're not chayav pigol notar and tame. Ve'ein osim tmura. If you take, okay, so now there's a debate exactly what the case is. By the way, I forgot to mention, when it says Rabbi Yossi Mechayev in the Mishnah, there's a lot of machlokot here about the Rishonim, about how to understand all this. When it says Rabbi Yossi's Mechayev, there's a machloket about whether Rabbi Yossi's Mechayev only in the last case of Shochtam Bachutz Patur and Rabbi Yossi's Mechayev, or he just agrees with Pigol Notar and Tamid. It's not clear whether Rabbi Yossi actually equates them entirely or only equates them for the purposes of the Shchita Bachutz. Okay, so there's a debate about that. And then, furthermore, there's a debate here what it means Enosim Tmura. So Enosim Tmura basically means, right, you have an animal, you say, oh, instead of this animal, I want to take a different animal after you've already sanctified the animal. So what do we say? Hu Tmurato Yekodesh. So in this case, what does it mean? The second animal that you say it's in place of this animal doesn't become Hektesh. The Kedusha doesn't go to the next animal. There's a debate about whether, and as everyone agrees that we're talking about a case where the Nochri, the non-Jew, sanctified the first animal. The question is, who did the Tamura? Is it a Jew or is it a non-Jew? In other words, is it the Jew did the Tamura and it doesn't, even if a Jew does it, it doesn't work? Or if the non-Jew himself does the Tamura, it doesn't work. But if a Jew were to do it to his animal, maybe it would. There's a debate about that also. But in any case, the din of Tamura doesn't apply. Ve'ein mevi'in nisachim. They don't bring the nisachim. Okay, this is, there's two types of nisachim. One is ones that go with the korban. Okay, one is, you can just decide, I want to bring nisachim, like yei nesach, as a wine libation. I want to bring it voluntarily. You can say that. So many of the commentaries think that we're talking here about nisachim nedava. And when it comes to nisachim that go with the korbanot, okay, we're going to see this right now, aval korbanan ta'un nisachim. But if they bring a korban, then, now this is a very interesting way it's worded, their korban needs nisachim. Okay, so what does this mean? This means, very simply, if they want to bring their own nisachim, so there's no such thing. They can't do that. But if they bring a korban that needs nisachim, that we see many of the korbanot need nisachim, go along with it, then the korban needs nisachim. Now there's a debate within that. Who brings the nisachim? To the non-Jews, and this is based on two different interpretations of a Mishnah in Shkalim, where we say that the nisachim for korbanot of non-Jews come from the kupah, like the kupah of the Beit HaMikdash. Now, is that in a case where the non-Jew didn't bring his own nisachim? In other words, their korban needs nisachim. So, one option is they bring their own nisachim, and if they don't, then we have to bring it for them. Or they need to bring them, but they're not allowed to bring them because they can't do nisachim, so we have to bring nisachim for their korban. And that comes from the kupah of the Beit HaMikdash. So there's a debate about the fact that it's ta'un nisachim, does that mean they're allowed to bring it? Or does it just mean if they brought a korban, they have to bring nisachim, but they can't, so we do it. So there's a debate about whether eim evi'in nisachim applies across the board or just to nischein edava. This was all divrei Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Yossi, ro'e ani bekulan lahachmir. I think we should be machmir on all of these. Shenemar bahen lahashem. Because it says, like I said before, Asher yakrivu lahashem le'olan, and it's their korban order to God, just like ours. Okay, now we have, again, there's many debates about how to understand this line. B'meh dvarim amurim. Now, some people say this is Rabbi Yossi, and some people say this is Rabbi Shimon. Okay? Rashi says we're going back to Rabbi Shimon. When it says all these things, en chayvim mishum pigol notar, etc. This is only talking about Me'ila. Lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim. Now this last line is talking about Me'ila. In which cases they're not Me'ila. So if we read it like Rabbi Shimon, we're going to say like this. In which cases there are no Me'ila, because that's what he said. B'kodshim is Bech. Dafka, when it comes to sacrifices, there's no din of me'ila. But interestingly enough, we're more machmir on the Beit HaKabayim. Okay, when it comes to if they brought stones to the Beit HaMikdash for use of the Beit HaMikdash, then there's a din of me'ila by those items. Okay, you could say, I just thought of it right now, that maybe sacrifices they're bringing for their own purposes, so it doesn't really relate to us. But if they bring something for Beit HaKabayim, then it's something, I'm assuming anyway, that is for the general klal, and therefore it becomes hektish. Okay, just because some non-Jew brought it doesn't mean it's any different than any other kodshei Beit HaKabayim. Maybe that's a good reason. Some people say that this is, in fact, Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi says, Ro'ani b'kolan lahachmir, but only, okay, but when I say, in other words, I agree, right, so then you would have to read this, 1 second. Rani b'kulan lachmir, that then he would be saying b'med varim amurim b'kodshei mizbeach b'kodshei Beit HaKabayim mo'alin b'hen. Right, he would say, but I don't agree when it comes to kodshei mizbeach. In other words, he's saying I'm going to be machmir, but not when it comes to me'ila. Again, it's only talking about me'ila here. It's not related to the other things. But when it comes to me'ila, he's saying, well, only me'ila in kodshei Beit HaKabayim. And then Rabbi Shimon would be saying there's no me'ila at all, even in Beit HaKabayim. So there's a debate about how to read it. We'll have to see later when we see it again. You'd have to read the sugya both ways. Either which way, either Rabbi Shimon's coming to include a case where we would be ma'alim, or Rabbi Yossi is coming to limit when me'ila applies. Even though I think we should be machmir by all their stuff, when it comes to me'ila, I think it's only in kodshei Beit HaKabayim. Lo nehenim v'lo ma'alim. So now we're going to start with that. We're going to start going through sections of the Braita. Lo nehenim midrabanan. Okay, we can't get hana'ah midrabanan. In other words, midoraita, it's not a problem. V'lo mo'alim, but there's no din of me'ila. Why? Degamar me'ila, chet chet mitruma. Why they have no aleph there, I'm not sure. But it's chet chet mitruma. De'betruma k'tiv, b'nei Yisrael v'lo v'dei kochavim. We're now going to have a slew of zereshavas or hekeshim. So by truma it says chet, by me'ila it says chet. Okay, nefesh kitim omal v'chata'a b'shkaga. Okay, by truma it says v'shamrua mishmarti v'lo yisu alav chet. So both of them say chet, and by truma it says b'nei Yisrael. And therefore, since truma is only b'nei Yisrael, we're going to say me'ila is only b'nei Yisrael. Okay, gzereshav. Ve'en chayavin ala mishum pigul no tarvitame my taima. So again, we're going to see the same gzereshav as we made yesterday. Da'ate pigul avon avon mi notar va'ate notar chilu chilu mituma. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Tuma. Okay, we're going to see here. I'll read this. I'll read one more line, and then we'll work backwards. It's a little easier to read it backwards. Ubituma k'tiv b'nei Yisrael v'lo v'dei kochavim. Okay, when it comes to tuma, it says, what's the pasuk here? Vayinezru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. Okay, there it says it. You have to stay away from kodshei b'nei Yisrael. That seems very clear. Only Jewish sacrifices and not kodshim of non-Jews. Once you learn it by tuma, then we have, what did it say there in the pasuk? Chilul, v'lo yechalelu achem kodshi. We're going to learn from there to the chilul in the notar pasuk. And in the notar pasuk, it said avon. And in the pigul pasuk, it said avon. You can look at all the pasukim on yesterday's sheet if you have it. And we're going to learn, basically, from there to notar, from there to pigul. Ve'enu sim tmura. My time. How do we know tmura? De'itkish tmura l'maser behema. Okay, we're going to say there's a hekesh between tmura and maser behema. How do we know that hekesh between them? Because when it comes to maser behema, okay, it says in, let me just open it, by Yikra Kav Zayin, okay, it's called a hekesh, but it's a little maybe different than your classic hekesh. It says here, v'chol maser bakar kol asher yavur tachat Hashem, et hasiri yeh kodesh l'Hashem, right, the tenth animal goes to Hashem. Lo yivaker ben tov l'ra v'lo yimirenu. You can't exchange it. V'im hamer yimirenu v'hayahu t'murato yekodesh lo yigael. So Tmura appears in the Pasuk. So therefore they're going to say, even though this isn't the only din of Tmura, you have Tmura by other things, but we're going to learn from the regular din of Tmura from here. So we're going to learn it from Maser Behema. Now Maser Behema, so far we don't yet know, it's only a Jewish animal. Maser Behema, it kish le Maser Dagan. It says Aser to Aser. Right, so what? It's a double lashon. They say it refers to two maasrot, gam maaser behema and gam maaser dagan. And how do we know maaser dagan is only right, the maaser of your crops is only for Jews? Maaser dagan k'tiv b'nei Yisrael v'lo avdei kochavim. Okay, it says there b'nei Yisrael. Okay, so therefore, again, we're going to say only. So we learn to maaser. From there, we learn to maaser behema, and from there, we learn to tamura. So now they say, what do you mean? V'chi davar lamei behakesh chozer malamei behakesh. How can you learn? We already said when it comes to kochim, you can't learn something by hekesh and then to something else. And here we learned out of hekesh from maser dagan. And it all started with maser dagan. Right? We start from maser dagan, and then we learn to maser behema, and then we learn to our case of tmura. Okay. Now, when it comes to kochim, you're not allowed to learn hekesh to hekesh. So what do we say? That only goes for kodshim. Now, is this kodshim? Well, sort of kodshim.
Why should it only be for kodshim?
This klal is a klal of kodshim. When it comes to other things, we're allowed to learn a hekesh on a hekesh, yes. But when it comes to kodshim, the din is only by kodshim, you can't do it. Well, they view kodshim in a different, this is their whole thing of this masechet. Kodshim's on a different plane, right? And therefore, there's certain rules about it that don't apply in other cases. So now, what do they say? Oh, maser dagan chulin hu. We can learn it because it's true it's kodshim, but the first thing, maser dagan, is chulin. It's not kodshim. So therefore, the first thing learned out by hekesh is from chulin. So therefore, it doesn't bother us. But then they say, but there's a machloket about that. Hani chalamanda amar batar min lamedas lina. There's some people who say, we determine if it's chulin or kodshim for this rule based on the thing that you're going to teach from there to something else. And then that would work. But the one who says we go by what's learned out, and what's learned out here is clearly the kachim ma'ika lememar. Therefore, what do? They erase this hekesh, they get rid of the maser dagan, and they say, oh, we're going to learn it directly from maser behema. Forget about maser dagan. We're not going to learn maser dagan from maser behema from maser dagan. We're going to learn maser behema by itself. How so? Ela maser behema chova she'en kavu al hazman. The chovah she'en lazman kavua Yisrael ma'ite ovdei kochavim lo ma'ite. They say it in kind of a complicated way, but what they're basically saying is korbanot that are chovah that ain't zman. Okay, let's stick with the chovah for right now. Any korbanot chovah don't apply to non-Jews. We know that. So maser behema is a chovah, right? Now, why did they say chovah she'en bozman? Because a chovah she'en bozman would be something like a chatat and asham and maser or b'chor. Those are all chataot that don't have, those are all korbanot that don't have a time associated with them. Which do have a time associated with them? Shalmei chagiga, olat riya, all of those. Now, why don't they mention those? Because those, even though it's true, they also don't apply to non-Jews, but an olan ashlamim of a different type would apply to non-Jews, of a voluntary. So therefore, they call it a chovah she'en bazman, but in theory, they could have just said chovah, because all chovot don't apply to non-Jews. And therefore, they learn it directly from maser behema to tmura. And then you don't have that issue of the hekesh. Ve'ei mevi'im nesachim. Tanu Rabbanan, how do we get that? Because it says, at the end of the nesachim section, okay, we talked about nesachim that come with korbanot, they then say, kol ha'ezrach yaseh kacha et ela la'kriv yisheh reach nichoach la'ashem. What does that pasuk mean, basically? It means that anyone, it's actually a funny sounding pasuk, right? Anyone, yaseh kacha, this is not the way the Torah usually speaks, right? Do like this. What it means is they understand that pasuk to mean anyone who wants to bring their own nesachim are allowed to, because the nesachim discussed until then were all ones that went with korbanot. This pasuk is saying if you want to bring a voluntary nesach, you can. So now what do they say? It says ezrach. Ezrach may be nesachim, ve'en ove kochavim may be nesachim. They use the term ezrach to say ezrach, not a non-Jew. Yachol lo tehe olato tuna nesachim. You might think his ola doesn't need nesachim. Tamud lamar kacha. Kol ezrach yaseh kacha. The way we said it, meaning there we said it, that every korban needs a nesach, nesachim. And therefore, if you brought a korban, then it does need nesachim. But, or again, only the ones that need nesachim. But if you were to bring it on its own, no. Amar b'yosi. Ro'e ani b'kulan lachmir. B'amid v'amrim b'kotshe mizbech. So again, we're now going to talk about this Bamed Varim Amurim. The Me'ila is only Kotcha Bet HaKabayit. Either we mean Rabbi Shimon or we mean Rabbi Yossi. Either which way we're going to read the Sugya, you know, as a general, that it's limiting it to Bet HaKabayit. My Taima, Kasavar, Ki Gamra Me'ila Chet Chet Mitruma, Dumia De Truma, De Kadisha Kedusha De Guf. We've always talked about this. The difference between Kedusha, there's things that are Kedusha HaGuf, where the item itself is Kodesh, and Berek HaBayit is Kedusha, it's Kedusha Damim, where the value of it has Kedusha, meaning you can take it and redeem it. Right? Whereas an animal, you can't just redeem, or Truma, you can't just redeem. So they're saying, since they learn the din of Me'ila from Truma, it only applies to things that are like Truma, that have inherent Kedusha to them. Okay, then you have a din of Me'ila. But Me'ila is not going to apply to Kotche Bet HaKabayit. Me'ila. Right. We learned Me'ila from Truma, that Truma only is only applicable to Jews and not to non-Jews. So the exclusion of non-Jews is only what's like Truma. In other words, Truma is only for Jews. Therefore, Me'ila is only for Jews in things that are like Truma, which is Kodshe Mizbeach, or right, Kodshim like that. But Kodshe Bet HaKabayit is not like Truma, and therefore the fact that we're saying Me'ila doesn't apply does not apply to Kedushat Bet HaKabayit. Okay, in other words, Me'ila does apply to Bet HaKabayit. Tanu Rabbanan, Dam Shenitma V'Zarko B'Shogeg, Hurtzeh B'Mezid Lo Hurtzeh. Okay, now we're going to is there Ritzoy when it comes to Korbanot of a non-Jew? So, if dam is nitma, and then they put it anyway on the mizbeach, okay, they forget, let's say, they use it, they sprinkle it on the mizbeach, b'shogeg, hortza, the tzitz, if you remember, the Kohen Gadol has that head plate, where it says, Kodesh LaHashem, and it has the yud-kei vav-kei, and it's miratzeh, it's supposed to take care of all sorts of mistakes in tuma that we have. So, if it was done b'shogeg, hortza, b'mezid lo hortza. But b'medvarim amurim b'yachid, aval b'tzibur b'im b'shogeg b'im b'mezid hurtzeh. We've already learned about tuma hutra b'tzibur, and therefore, if it was a tzibur korban, we're going to always have more mekel dinim about tuma. If it was done in a case, let's say this isn't the majority of the people of tameh, but it was done for a korban tzibur, and it was already done. In other words, if you didn't do it, so you're not allowed to. You know there's blood that's coming. You're not allowed to put on the mizbeach. But if you forgot, then the tzitz is meratzeh even on the tzibur. So when it comes to tzibur, shogeg, mezid, hurtzeh. When it comes to yachid, only if it was b'shogeg is the tzitz going to be meratzeh. When it comes to avdei kochavim, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, lo hurtzeh. Okay? There's no ritzoy for a non-Jew. Okay? That's the braita. Amarua rabbanan, kemet rapapa. Kiman. To look at Rabbi Yossi. This shita, this braita, must not hold like Rabbi Yossi. Because what did Rabbi Yossi say? Di Rabbi Yossi, Hamar, Bekulan ani ro'e l'hachmir. In other words, right, we treat their korbanot just like ours. So if they did the dam b'shogeg, in theory, there should be ritzoy. So Amar lo Rapapa, no, I don't think Rabbi Yossi would agree with this either. Afilu tema Rabbi Yossi, shane hatam damar kra lahem. Lahem velo l'ovdei kochavim. The pasuk there says, at the lahem here is, I think Asher Hem Makdashim Li. 1 second. The Ratzon Lahem, right? By the tzitz, it says it's Le Ratzon Lahem. Okay, let me see if I can get the whole pasuk for you.
It's here.
Yeah. Okay, so let's open it. In Vayikra. Yeah? No. Where?
Shmo,
yeah, there's no Kavchet. Okay. Shmo Kavchet, say it again. Lamed Hey. Lamed Hey. V'hayal Metzach Aharon v'nasat avon ha-kodeshim asher yadishu b'nei Yisrael. First of all, it says b'nei Yisrael. L'chol matnot kodshehem. V'hayal mitzcho tamid l'ratzon lahem l'fnei Hashem. So that it's important to read it inside, because the lahem here refers to b'nei Yisrael. Okay? Because it said Yisrael, and then it said lahem. So lahem must be only to b'nei Yisrael. So in other words, even if we treat, what did he say before? It said the korbanot l'Hashem. There, all the korbanot l'Hashem, they're treated exactly the same way. But when it comes to ritzoy atzitz, that's like an additional thing that God saves for, you know, his chosen nation, you could say, maybe. And therefore, it's only l'Hashem. It says there, l'Hashem v'lo l'ovdei kochavim. Amar le Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua Bereid Rav Nat. Sorry, Amar le Rav Huna Bereid Rav Natan le Rav Papa. Elameata Asher Hem Makdishim Hachinami Hem Velov De Kochavim. But according to that, what's this pasuk Asher Hem Makdishim Li? We saw that yesterday. That's all about Tuma, right? Which means that Tuma would only apply if you eat a korban that's tameh, you get kareh. That would only apply to a Jew and not a non-Jew. What did Rabbi Yosef say? Bikulan Anirah Behen Lachmir. Okay, so El Am Ravashi Amar Kra LeRatzon Lahem Vovde Kochavim Lav Bnei Hartzaaninu. He says, "Oh, you know what? I think I made a mistake. The earlier pasuk is not the same Lahem by the Ritzoi. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. The conclusion of the Gemara is that it's specifically by Ritzoi and not by anything else. But the first Lahem, one second." Lahem, but no, it's also Lahem. So what's the difference here? I guess he's focusing on the Ritzui. It's L'Ratzon Lahem. Because when you say L'Ratzon Lahem, you can say that Ritzui is only for them and not for non-Jews. But when you say just Lahem, Lahem is not enough. It has to be that it's L'Ratzon Lahem, Dafka, that you can say Ovdei Kochavim just aren't part of the whole category of Ritzui. Okay, and therefore it's not relevant to them. Okay. That was all about non-Jews. Now we're moving back to things about pigul. Dvarim she'ein chayavin alehem mishum pigul. Remember we had that whole list, like the kmitza, the lavona, the ktoret, right? All those things that they don't apply to because they don't have mitirin. So things like that, chayavin alehem mishum notar mishum tameh. Right? We keep putting these three things together, pigul, notar, and tameh. Right? Do they go together? Do they not go together? To what extent are they the same? Right? We have these gzereshavas between them. So now we're going to say, even though pigul is only applicable in certain situations, certain thing items that eat. Remember, pigul is you eat the item. Tame is you eat the tame item, or you eat it when you're tame. And notar is you eat the item after you've left it over. Right? You get kareid in all these cases when you eat the food. So the question is, do we say, right, so according to this Mishnah, if you're not chayav mishum pigul, certain things like the tmitza, the lavona, all those, chayavin alehem mishum notar, you are chayav mishum notar umishum tameh. All those things are applicable to notar and tameh. Okay, you would be chayav, even though they don't have mitirin. Chutz min hadam, the only one exception is blood. Okay, and that's because blood, presumably blood wasn't really ever intended to be eaten at all, and therefore it doesn't apply to blood. Rabbi Shimon mechayev b'davar shedarkan le'echol. He says, I think you are chayav in things that are intended to be eaten. Aval etzim v'halevona v'aktoret. In other words, there's certain things on that list. Interestingly, etzim wasn't on that list, but etzim you could add. You would be chayav mishum pigo for sure. And the levona and the ktoret, okay, which we said, you're not chayav mishum pigo. He's going to say those things are also ein chayavin ala mishum tuma. They also wouldn't apply to tumah because they're not edible items. In order for you to be chayav for eating something, it has to be something that's edible. And nobody eats frankincense or the incense they offered on the mizbech. Okay, so if you were to eat it, even though it's not edible, right, that's the issue. Would you be chayav or not? So he says you wouldn't be chayav mishum tumah. Tanu rabbanan. So now we're going to bring a braita that derives this halacha. Yachol lo yuhu chayavim mishum tumah el al davar sheyesh lo matirin, bein la'adam bein lemizbech. You might have thought that tumah would only apply to something that has matirin. Okay? The same exact category as pigul. You might have thought, which we know not from the Mishnah, but they're getting to in this braita why it's not the case. Now, why might you have thought that it would be the same? Vidinhu, it's a logical argument. Why? Ma pigul, shehu, we're now going to say three things by pigul that are kind of more chamor than tameh. And if they're more chamor, but yet pigul applies in less situations, wouldn't you assume the tameh, which is less chamor, is going to apply in less situations also? Okay, and therefore it wouldn't apply unless it has matirin. So ma pigul shehu bikvia, what does that mean? It's a kavua. It only applies to a kavua korban chata, not the ola v'yored. Okay, it's a chata kavua. Ubiyidia, it's when you know, and that's what does pigul have? Pigul has that you know you're doing it. You intentionally do it. In other words, there's this realization that you've done it. And there's no heter for it ever. When is there a heter in Tumah? Chabahutra Bitzibur. Okay? So Ein Chayavin Alav Ela Al Davar Sheyesh Lo Mitirin. Even though it's so chamor, and yet it only applies in the Davar Sheyesh Lo Mitirin. Bein Ladam Bein Lemizbeach. Remember what that means? That means either you permit it to be eaten to a person, or you permit it to be eaten on the Mizbeach, or consumed would be a better word, on the Mizbeach. So Tuma, now if you, what happens with Tuma? We've learned. If you forget you were Tamei, and then you remember, right? So what do? Ah, Shiba Olavi Yored. It's not a Chatat Kavua. Ubishtei Yidiot. And there's two Yidiot. In other words, first you know, then you forget, and then you remember again. That's different from the Yidiachat of Pigul, where you know all along that you made this mistake. Here, you forgot, which means it's going to be less severe. And it's hutra b'tzibur. There are cases where tame is suspended. You know, the isser of tuma is suspended. So ein odin she'eino chayav ela davar she'yesh lo mitirin bein ladam bein lemizbeach. Talmud lamar. Therefore, we're going to darsha from the pasuk that we keep reading over and over again from yesterday. Asher hem makdishim li. Right. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'albanav. Vayinezru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. Stay away when you're tame from kodshei b'nei Yisrael. V'lo yechalelu atshem kodshi. Asher hem makdishim li. Ani Hashem. So what does that seem to imply? Any kind of kachim, doesn't matter whether it has a matir or doesn't have a matir. It's an inclusion. It's a term that includes all sorts of other things because it's unnecessary. So it's said to obviously include more things. Yachomiyad, you might have thought, now we're going to learn something interesting. You designate a korban. It's already, you designate the animal to a korban. It's already kodesh. Let's say it becomes tameh, and then you eat it right then instead of, right, going through the process of, you know, there's, you can eat it then, or you can eat it once it's mutar to be eaten. When is it mutar to be eaten? After you finish all the avodot, you've shechted, well, all the main avodot, you've shechted, kabbalah, holacha, zrika. Okay? Once zrika, generally it's permitted. In this case, if you're tameh, or the animal got tameh, then you would be chay of karet. But how do we know? Well, it is raw before, but let's say you, for whatever reason, maybe because it became tameh, they never went through with the whole sacrifice. Okay? And then they take it out of the Beit HaMikdash and you cook it up on your own. Okay? So are you chayav karet for that? So yachol miyad, you might have thought you'd be chayav immediately. Talmud lomar, yikrav. Okay? What's this pasuk? Emor lehem, okay, this is vayikra kaf bet gimel. It's the pasuk right after vayinezru mikodshei b'nei Yisrael. Anyone, what does it say? Who gets close, okay? Which the Gemara is going to explain is sounds like touching, because li yikrav, just to move close to something, you never, that's never a problem, but to actually touch it. Okay, ela kodeshim asher yikdishu b'nei Yisrael la'Hashem, v'tumato alav, and the tumah is on it, v'nichrita nefesh hi milifanai ani Hashem. Okay, you get carried, it sounds like, from this pasuk, just by coming close to it. Okay, or by touching it, really, is the, what they're going to say. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, v'chi yesh nogea shehu chayav. It's Rabbi Elazar. Okay, thanks, sorry, I didn't know. Amar Rabbi Elazar, I guessed, 50-50. V'chi yesh nogea shehu chayav. Then nobody gets courageous for touching. Of course the pasuk doesn't mean that you touch the korban. And you, not like that. It certainly doesn't mean you got close to it. And it definitely doesn't mean you touched it, because nobody gets courageous for touching it if they're tameh. Okay, Ella, ma tamu lomar yikrav, bihukshar basar li karev, akatuv medaber. When it says yikrav, it's a reference, it's a catchphrase, to teach you that what are they talking about? Only once the basar is mutar lahakriv, meaning you can burn it and eat it. It's only then you get karet, meaning you don't get karet right away. Haketzad. So now they're going to say, and here we're finally going to get to, how do we know that it's davar sheyesh lo mitirin? Okay, we already said davar sheyesh lo mitirin v'sharim v'kdishim li. Now we're going to show even more, so we're building on that, and we're saying, what's the case? So when are you going to be chayav for karet, for something tameh? It depends whether, and then since we know now it applies, davar sheyesh lo mitirin, davar she'en lo mitirin, if yesh lo mitirin, mishi karvu mitirin. That's if, whatever the mitirim are, if it's the kmitza, you know, once you were komets and you did that and then you brought it in, right? If it's the an animal, so once the blood was put on the mizbeach, only then, and then you ate it, will you become tameh. But if lo yikravu mitirin, then you're not going to be chayav karet for eating a tameh. You're obviously, it's usur, but you're not going to be chayav karet. Ein lo mitirin, what if it doesn't have mitirin? So at what point is it considered Huchshar basar the karev, mishay kadesh bekli. Once you put it in a kli sharet, then it's going to be considered. Eshkachan tuma. Okay, so that teaches us about tuma. The tuma applies even to varshay and lomitirin. No tarminalan. Again, what are we going to say? Ante chilu chilu mituma. We're going to learn chilu chilu mituma. Belela. Okay, so we're going to learn from tuma. But wait. Belela favon avon mipigul. In other words, no tar can be learned from tamei. From the chilo chilo, but it also can be learned from a zereshava that we had to pigul. So why are we saying we're going to learn the details of yesh lo materian or ein lo materian from tamei? Why don't we learn it from pigul? So they say mistabra mituma hava lelemelav shaken gezel siman. Okay, what does that mean? It's similar to it in three ways. Okay, what are the three ways it's similar to? Guf. It's kadosh kedushat aguf, the pigul, and the problem is in the guf, whereas tameh could be a problem in the person, not in the guf of the korban. Zion is zrika, which means that there's zrika when it comes to, wait, what is this? Zrika, right, there's no zrika dam in tuma. They're not zorek the dam, but in pigul there is zrika dam. Right, 1 second. Ein zrikat dam v'viatan lidei psulan. Right. In notar and pigul, only once you do the zrika does it make you chayav, but not in tumah, although we did just learn that it was tumah. So, okay, well, I'll have to get back to you tomorrow about that. And lamed, there's a machlok at Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanana, whether lamed is chilul, because the pasuk says, 1 second. Oh, no, sorry, that's my confusion. Okay. I got confused from it. These are things, you know, let's pick up from this tomorrow. We're going to say, these are ways I got confused. These are ways that notar is similar to tuma and not to pigul. And then we're going to say, oh no, adrabami, pigul, notar is more similar to pigul for the following reasons, and those have more reasons. So tomorrow we'll pick up with this. We'll start here about whether it's more similar. And so the lamed is either chilul, because it says chilul, chilul by both, notar and by tameh. Or Rabbeinu Hanana says it's obviously not lamed, right? No one can come up with a lamed word. So it has to be a word that has lamed in it. So chilul, which by the way, we've seen in Rashi Tevot. Rabbeinu Hanana says kulo, that the whole thing, when it comes to pigul, the whole thing becomes pigul. When it comes to notar or tameh, only the part of the meat that becomes tameh is a problem. If the whole korban doesn't become tameh if a little part of it became tameh, if it's not attached anymore, let's say, right? They cut up the pieces, and one part becomes tameh, it doesn't pass the whole korban. Notar also, if you only leave over part of the korban, but the rest of it you ate, it only applies to the part you left over. So pigul applies to the whole thing. Once you've messed up the korban, you've messed up, right? When you mess up one part, it messes up the entire thing. So that's the machloka between the whether it's chilul or it's kulo. Okay? Tough, we'll go back to this.